Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
And before we go, we want to turn to Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton. Congressman Moulton is in self-isolation at his home in Salem after experiencing what he says are symptoms consistent with the coronavirus. Congressman Moulton, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Let me start by asking you, how are you?
I'm doing well. My wife and I are both symptomatic for COVID-19, but we seem to have relatively minor symptoms compared to people who are, of course, struggling in hospitals right now. To give people an idea of what that means, we've both experienced tightness in the chest, shortness of breath, particularly when, just doing something as simple as walk up the stairs. Body aches and pains, fatigue, fever, although my senior fever has been pretty minor. The doctors have said this is completely consistent with COVID-19. But the thing is, there's not really a treatment, as you know. There's not some medicine that they would prescribe. And as a result of that, the prescription is just to stay at home and to rest as much as you can, eat well and try to do what you can to keep your immune system in tip-top shape. And so that's what we've been doing.
When you released the news, Congressman Moulton, I heard a lot of reaction from people of dismay that you were not able to get tested. Were you surprised to not be able to get tested, and how are you feeling about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is terrible. The fact that we're actually symptomatic and we can't get tested when we know that there are a lot of people who are asymptomatic and are actually testing positive. Senator Rand Paul being perhaps the most noteworthy example. So the fact that we still don't have enough tests to give two people who are symptomatic with this disease a test just shows how far behind we are. I actually talked to three different doctors. I talked to a friend who's an ER doc, used to work at Beth Israel. Now he's down south. He immediately, when I started describing, didn't even get through the full description of my symptoms, and he said, you need to go get tested. But then the doctors I talked to up here in Massachusetts and then one in Washington, D.C., said, we just don't have enough tests. So that's the problem.
I want to stay with that for a minute. For example, all of the Boston Celtics, NBA players, were tested after being exposed to someone who had tested positive. Other people are experiencing, we hear, quite severe symptoms and are in self-isolation and are not receiving tests. There is a core equity issue here. How do we address it?
It's a major equity issue. And I didn't want to use my influence as a member of Congress to say I get a test and take that test away from someone who needs it more. So that's why, as much as I personally, my wife and I would like to just confirm this diagnosis, know for sure. We want to be respectful of the guidelines that are out there and not take tests from someone else. And, we need to do a better job in the future of making sure we truly do have equity in healthcare. But obviously, that's not the case right now. I mean, that's why people like me are such advocates for improving Obamacare, for expanding healthcare access, for making sure that healthcare truly is a human right, not a right of the privileged.
There's a big vote tomorrow in the House. Will you miss it?
Yes. I mean, that's a big part of why we disclose this, because if we have to vote in Washington, I'll miss it. Now, the current plan is to pass this by voice vote, which means that, in theory, we don't need to all be there. Now, if that doesn't go well, if it doesn't pass, if there's significant objection, then I'm not sure what they're going to do next. But this just highlights the fact that we haven't done enough planning as a government to know how to successfully make it through a pandemic like this and make sure that government keeps operating the way it's supposed to. This is the largest stimulus bill in American history. I mean, you should reserve voice votes for things that are truly inconsequential, not for the largest stimulus bill in American history. So, I support the legislation. I would vote for it if I were in Washington. But I also think we've got to figure out how to do this better so that representatives can truly, voice the concerns and the issues of their constituents and truly have a vote on things like this rather than let them just sort of pass on their own.
We had Congresswoman Lori Trahan on yesterday, who had been part of a group advocating for changes that would allow, for example, remote voting. And we know that Massachusetts, member of the Massachusetts delegation, Congressman McGovern, head of the Rules Committee, has essentially said that's just not doable, especially in this time frame. Do we have a major constitutional need here for Congress that even if we can't address for this pandemic needs to get addressed now?
We do need to address this without question. And, you know, my position is actually kind of between the two because I agree that at a time like this, remote voting should absolutely be on the table. But I also understand Congressman McGovern's concerns that, among other things, remote voting can be a slippery slope. First, we're remote voting for COVID-19. Next, we're remote voting because it's just more convenient. And suddenly it's one day a week and then 2 days a week and more. And the problem is that one of the only things that keeps a semblance of bipartisan cooperation in Congress is the fact that we have to come together to vote. So I know it's very inconvenient for representatives to fly in from Hawaii and Alaska and everywhere else to come to Congress to take their votes. But I actually think it's very important for the functioning of the institution. So we have to put very strict limits on any sort of remote voting. In fact, I didn't sign on to the letter that Congressman Trahan joined just because although I think remote voting should be on the table, I didn't think the limits on it as advocated for in that letter were sufficient.
You talked a moment ago about bipartisan cooperation. It was remarkable that this bill, the vote we're talking about tomorrow is for the $2 trillion economic aid package, and it did pass unanimously in the U.S. Senate, which doesn't happen very often anymore. What is the lesson that we take from that, and are you satisfied with the provisions in that bill?
Well, the lesson is that it's a pretty good balance. We've come a long way from the initial Senate Republican draft, which I had strong objections to. My priorities are very clear, and I've laid them out. There's four priorities. Number one has to be hospital workers, nurses, and doctors on the front lines. The fact that we still don't have basic protective equipment for the frontline warriors in this fight is just absurd in the wealthiest country on earth. The second priority has to be supporting workers and their families, people who have already lost their jobs. I'm sure you know people who've lost their jobs already. I'm amazed by the number of friends I have who've already been laid off. We need to provide support to them and their families. Third, we need to support small businesses. They're the lifeblood of our economy. They're so critical to our community, and they account for 50% of employment in America. And many of them just don't have the big balance sheets that large corporations have to see their way through this crisis. And then only after those top three should we be talking about any sort of industry bailouts for the airline industry or anywhere else. And I've made it also very clear that industry bailouts need to be accompanied with very strict restrictions. You're going to use taxpayer money. We're going to make you follow values. So I actually think that we're pretty close to that. You know, the Senate Republican draft kind of did everything in the opposite order. It prioritized corporate bailouts and didn't provide any support for hospitals. But this bill comes much closer, and I think that's why it's gotten broad support. I think that Republicans and Democrats also recognize that we've just got to get the support to people as quickly as possible. So it's not perfect. It's not the exact bill that I would have written. But I do support it because I think we've got to get it out the door. We've got to help people as quickly as we can. We all know how the speed, the incredible pace, at which this virus is expanding.
In our last 30 seconds or so, Congressman, as I'm listening to you, I'm mindful of the fact that you're having this conversation with me while you are experiencing acute symptoms of the coronavirus, that you're uncomfortable, that you're at home, that you and your wife don't really know what happens right over the next day or two. I know there are other listeners who are afraid or maybe in the same position. What is your advice? What are your words for our listeners?
The most important thing I want to share is that, you know, this is going to affect an awful lot of people, but the reactions to it are going to be incredibly varied. And of course, if you're truly having trouble breathing, you need to go to the hospital and get care. But the majority of cases will be minor. They'll be more like what my wife and I are experiencing. And you still got to take them seriously. You got to take care of yourself. The only weapon we really have is our own immune system. So make sure it's in tip-top shape. But then also really follow these social distancing guidelines, adhere to the self-quarantine, because you got to get better, but you also have to make sure you're not spreading this to anybody else.
Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, we wish you a speedy recovery.
Thanks so much.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director, and we had engineering today by Glenn Alexander and Michael Garth. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.